For this project, I interviewed Ashley Clemens, a chaplain at Brigham and Women's with a particular interest in end-of-life care. I wanted to hear about how hospital patients can be cared for beyond just medical procedures and her experiences in that line of work.
My name is Ashley Clemens, and I am training to be an interspiritual minister. Currently, I have a private practice that deals with both helping people gain spiritual connection in their lives and also supports people around end of life. So a day in a chaplain's life, where you go to work and people, when they go to the hospital, have the option of requesting spiritual care, and or if something, they may tell their nurses that they request special support. And when that is the case, it shows up in our system. So every morning we refresh and print out what are the explicit needs of that day. And if there are patients from our section, we will go and visit those patients first. We may also take care of patients whose religion matches up with our religion specifically, or whose languages match up with our language capabilities, sometimes it's just a matter of triage. A patient really needs something, so we might go firsthand. And then some days of the week, I would have the on-call beeper, and whoever has the on-call beeper has to attend to the emergency thing. So either the code blues happening in the building, or sometimes someone would need an end of life. There'd be an end of life situation, and I'd have to leave my cardiology unit and go and attend to a patient who was passing, whose family had requested support. So I would go ahead and go and do that. So that's kind of where the day begins. And after those initial visits, then what is typical is that we will go to our unit. So I had, for example, a cardiology and an oncology unit. So I would go to my cardiology unit and I would walk and visit all the patients, as many as I could, in the rooms who are on my floor in my unit. And essentially that entails walking in and saying, "Hi, I'm the chaplain here at Brigham and Women's. I offer spiritual, religious, emotional care." I mean, you don't usually say it that explicitly. You usually just say, "How are you doing? I'm the chaplain." And then it's a sort of improvisational game from there. You see if they need something or how they're doing, or if are they in distress? Are they filled with family support? Do they have their Baptist minister coming in every day bringing brownies? I mean, this happens. Sometimes people feel very alone, and they may not need spiritual support, but they feel scared and alone. And so we also offer emotional support. So we would just sit and talk about that. Or maybe people have existential fears or want to pray. "I'm okay, but will you pray with me?" So we may pray together. So yeah, a typical day in the life of a chaplain is essentially establishing relationships with these patients and their families. And for however long, you know, the patient stays at the hospital, it is, you know, sometimes patients come back. Some patients, I worked also on an oncology unit for stem cell transplant, and those people usually were in the hospital at least a month because they had to be quarantined because they had essentially no immune system. And so from a chaplain's perspective, the advantage of that was being able to develop a deeper relationship with that person because they were for a month. So the more you see someone, the more it's easier to converse about deeper things. Although sometimes that depth can come quite quickly. The advantage of a chaplain over, say, a family member is that we're essentially anonymous. So maybe someone is feeling terrified but is afraid to further upset their spouse, who's already under a lot of stress, and maybe they're holding it together for the sake of their spouse. And so a chaplain comes in and says, "How are you doing?" And a patient might just be able to just honestly divulge, or might break down and say, "Oh my gosh, it's actually really, I am so terrified." There's a lot of family support. So that's something that happens regularly, not only just dealing with a patient, but also supporting family members. I think another common experience of chaplains, or what we do regularly, is just checking in, you know, having like a regular presence to catch anything that, because we don't have like a 5-minute timestamp, so we're not as rushed. And so we have the spaciousness and the conversational spaciousness to detect maybe where there are leaks in patient care. And so the advantage of that is, you know, someone might be like, ah, I'm feeling so much pain or whatever. We might be able to go to the nurse or convey information that is not being conveyed or heard by other staff. So that is something that would happen. So it's a lot of talking. It's a lot of talking with patients, checking in pretty regularly, having very deep conversations about people's conditions, how they're feeling about it, how they're making meaning of it. If it's very dire, terminal, kind of why or what's going to happen next, or how they feel about that, or unresolved business. When, with older patients, it's pretty common to have a life review, so they'll tell you stories about their life, tell you about just all sorts of stories from their, of their partners and kids and grandkids and growing up and stuff like that. War, people tell you about being soldiers in wars, and yeah. So I remember a patient was so upset about, he felt like he had lived a pretty angry filled life and was terminal with some condition, and thought he was, he did, he told me he did not believe in God, but he said, if God exists, I'm worried I'm going to go to hell. And that's a pretty intense thing to say. And so what we ended up doing, I mean, how does one respond to that, right? So what we ended up doing is we ended up talking about his life. I said, well, can you tell me about your life? And he told me about his life and about his kids and how he was estranged from one of his sons. And, you know, he was sort of an absentee father and he felt guilty about that, but he was working really hard. And he told me about how he has this huge garden and he would always give vegetables to people in the community. People would like joke that he was like farmer, whatever his name was. And, you know, we talked over the course of maybe 3 visits. And by the last visit, he had the revelation himself that he wasn't so bad. The storytelling sort of redeemed himself to himself, where he realized, wow, I've been, the things that were hard were sort of circumstantially hard, and maybe I didn't respond as well as I could have, but I wasn't horrible and I was generous too. And so, I mean, that is a beautiful example of how I don't necessarily tell patients what to think or what to believe, but more sort of invite them, sort of unpack these places of fear and doubt and questioning and anxiety, and figure out how to support people in those moments. We all have different conceptions of reality, so it feels responsible to respect people's beliefs, right? That's what constitutes respect. But when someone is really struggling with, grappling with something dark, it can be helpful to offer a different perspective. So not to say you must adopt this perspective, but to say, I see this situation differently. You can retain your perspective, but from my belief, love is unconditional and forgiveness is absolute and imperative, and it happens regardless. And learning happens, so all situations result in learning, and that is valuable, even if they're painful lessons. So that is also, I think, sometimes the benefit of having someone to discuss these situations with, is they're not just like rehashing horror. There can be someone to hold, like really witness suffering, which I think is also in and of itself very, very powerful. Like there were a lot of times where I wouldn't really say anything and patients would just cry or just tell things maybe they'd never told anyone before, or maybe they are kept very close to their chest and not want to share, but you know, this was the moment it needed to be said, and then they would say it. And having someone just like very, very tenderly witness that without judging, and just like, I'm just gonna be present for that. That in and of itself, in my belief, is very healing. And then sometimes there might be an extra step that could be useful, which would be sort of a reframe from my perspective. Again, not like a pushy one, but an offering, essentially.